Okay, biblical advice on handling stress. Don't worry, be holy. We're going to look at Jesus' advice on handling stress and Paul's advice on handling stress. And of course, they're in agreement because they're both recording for us the Word of God. Okay? Now, keep in mind, we were in the book of Acts. We're going to take about a 3 or 4 week break, and then we'll get right back into the book of Acts about a month from now. But let's take a look at Jesus' advice on handling stress in Matthew 6, verses 25 to the end of the chapter, to verse 34. Jesus says this, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And so Jesus' advice about handling stress. You're going to hear the phrase, and if you're looking at the notes, you're going to see the phrase over and over again, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, okay? You know, we worry when we feel like we're not in control. Well, fact of the matter is, we are not in control. We don't even control the amount of oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere, yet we need it to live. So we're never in control. So why should we pick... You know, if we're never in control 24 hours a day, why should we pick a few hours each day and say, I'm going to get worried because I'm out of control. I'm not in control of those things. We're never in control. But our Heavenly Father is always in control, and He knows what's best for us. So rather than worry, we should trust in Him. But you're going to hear this over and over again, don't worry, because that's what God is crying out to us in His Word. Okay? In verses 25 and 26, there Jesus tells us that we should not worry because God is in control. God is in control. If you just look at the birds of the air, how God cares for them. Okay? And then Jesus points out we're more important to God than the birds are. And so there's no reason for us to worry, since God is in control. Verse 27 is interesting. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You see, one of the biggest problems with worry, with getting stressed out, with suffering anxiety, is that it doesn't help. You know, I could have worried all with everything that I had that I wasn't going to be tall. Because, you know, all through school, I was the shortest guy in my class, okay? And I could have worried about that, you know, and caused it to, you know, could have caused me to stress out and stuff. But the fact of the matter is, had I done all that worrying, I would still be the same height I am today. I might even be a little shorter, actually, because of the damage that that worrying does, the stress does to the bones. You know, it wouldn't have helped me, you know. I couldn't change that. Worrying wouldn't change it, okay? And I decided since I couldn't grow high, I'd try to grow wide and got into, you know, lifting weights and stuff. That was something I could control at least a little bit, but But the fact of the matter is, worrying does not help. Okay? So the first reason that we should not worry is because God is in control. You know, do we really believe that? Sometimes I wonder if we really believe that God is in control. We trust in Jesus for salvation, and then we think that we've got to handle our own problems. But if we really believe God is in control, then why are we getting so stressed out all the time? Why do we feel like, the next hour or the next few minutes is just going to tear me up, or what's going on tomorrow is going to tear me to pieces? If we really believe God is in control, we shouldn't worry. And then if we worry, you know, it doesn't help. In fact, it hurts. Proverbs 14, verse 30 tells us, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Okay? If you harbor envy, if you're always getting stressed out and worrying, okay, if you have unforgiveness, hate, vengeance, these kinds of things don't help you one bit. But it sure hurts a lot. It can tear you up. It can tear you to pieces. It can break you down. I mean, my mom went to be with the Lord a few years ago, but when I went in the Marine Corps, I'd only see him like every other year. And each time I'd see him, until my father had a stroke at age 73, he always looked the same. You know, he looked like he was in his mid-40s. You know, he just, see him 2 years later, he looked like he was in his mid-40s. My father was 12 years older than my mother, yet before he had a stroke, when he was 73 and she was 61, she could have passed for his mother. And every 2 years, he would look the same, and she would look like she added 5 to 10 years. And it was the stress, the vengeance, the unforgiveness, the worry that she just let get to her. So worrying doesn't help. In fact, it can hurt. Now look at verses 31 and 32 of this passage. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You realize that what's being said here is that we should not worry because God knows. You know, first time I read this, I thought, well, what's the big deal? God knows. It is the big deal, because God, we know that God cares for us. And, you know, we feel like, man, I'm going through this rough time. I'm all alone. Nobody knows what I'm going through. No, God knows. Hagar, the servant girl, when she got kicked out of the tent, Abraham's tent, and she had Abraham's son Ishmael, and the boy was starving to death. She was starving to death. They were dying of thirst and felt abandoned, felt all alone, and she cried out to God. And God rescued them, and God revealed himself to her as the God who sees. The God who sees. We have a God who sees. We can be hurt. We can be, you know, there have been Christians who have been locked up. In fact, there are Christians who are being locked up. There are Christians who are locked up right now all around the world. 160,000 Christians get slaughtered, get put to death for the Christian faith each year. And that's been going on for decades. And we don't even hear about it in the American press. But right now, somewhere in this world, there's a Christian for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for doing what the Lord Jesus said. There is someone sitting all alone in a prison cell, and their relatives might not even know where they are. And they feel all alone. But when you get a Christian who is that on fire for the Lord to get themselves locked up in a prison cell, you probably got a Christian who's not going to be stressed out about it. So here we are in America, eating 3, 4, 5 meals a day, and we get more stressed out than that guy or that gal that's all alone in a prison cell. But that guy or that gal all alone in a prison cell realizes they're not really alone, because they worship the God who sees. The God who sees my pain. The God who sees my hurts. The God who sees when I'm down. He's a God who sees, but he's a God who sees and he cares, and he comes to comfort his people. And so So don't worry, because God knows. And then verse 33 tells us, don't worry, put God first. God will take care of the rest. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So put God first, and God will take care of the rest. You realize it is not our problem. It is not our job to worry about all the details and taking care of every problem that we see that confronts us. Okay? That is not our job. Our job is to put God first and to put His righteousness first. His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, each of us may have a different role in that kingdom. But it is our job not to build our own kingdoms. It is our not to control everything that is around, but it is our job to work towards building God's kingdom and putting His righteousness first, applying the truths from His word, and then God says, guess what, Fernandez? I'll take care of the rest. You put me first, and I will take care of you. There are some Christians that think that God promises to take care of all the needs of all Christians. The Bible really doesn't say that. The Bible says that God promises to take care of the needs of Christians who put Him first. Okay? And then the crazy thing is, when you see Christians who are putting Him first, it does not look like God is taking care of their needs sometimes. You get a guy or a gal who's sold out for the Lord, and we look and we say, well, God's not taking care of their needs. Their second microwave broke down. Their third TV set broke down. Their second car broke down. I mean, we think because my second microwave broke down, I am going through a Job situation. I can really relate to Job now. I really know what that's the kind of turmoil that we Americans go through. Okay, we actually think that those are Job type trials. But then there's times when even we Americans really do go through the big stuff. When our loved ones die. When the children we raise decide maybe to turn their backs on the Lord when they get older. When people you love are getting hurt and things of that sort. There are some real trials. But the fact of the matter is, God says, hey, no matter how tough things get, no matter how down you feel, no matter how hurt you feel, you put me first, you put God first, and I'll take care of the rest. Okay? And then in verse 34, Jesus tells us, don't worry, take one day at a time. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So don't worry, take one day at a time. You know, we get so stressed out today, and worrying about what's going to come tomorrow. Hey, there's enough tough situations to get through today. So just take one day at a time. You know, and the Lord and the Our Father, He tells us that we pray to the Lord, you know, give us our daily bread. You know, why not say, Lord, just give us in one shot, give us enough food to live off of for the rest of our lives. You know, that's the way we want to pray. The God says, no, I want you to depend on me one day at a time. You know, we human beings, the way we are, if God provided for us one week at a time, we'd only look to Him once a week. But when it's one day at a time, then daily we have to seek His face. Daily we have to come into His presence and call out to Him and cry out to Him and look to Him to meet our needs. To take care of us. Listen, if He controlled, if He created the universe out of nothing, if He parted the Red Sea to deliver the Israelites and then used the Red Sea to wipe out the most powerful military on earth, the Egyptian army, if He spoke to Moses from a burning bush, if He rose His son from the grave, if He provided salvation for us, and you think He's gonna be overcome by our problems? He's not gonna be able to handle our problems? So it's our job just to leave it at the foot of the cross. To take those problems and leave it with Him and trust in Him. And I'll tell you, the wisdom of man will tell you otherwise. And the wisdom of man has crept into the church. So there's a secret formula to overcome stress in your life. You've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do this. And let me tell you, the Lord Jesus is sufficient. He is not only willing and able to save us, He is also willing and able to give us the overcoming life. Okay? It doesn't mean He's going to make us healthy, wealthy, and prosperous in the here and now. You know, God promised us a crown and a throne, but that's when He returns. Right now, all He promises us is a cross. But He tells you, if you take that cross, if you take that mission, that God-ordained mission for your life, and are obedient and serve the Lord and love the Lord and trust in Him, okay? Yeah, He doesn't say He'll remove us from the trials or remove the trials from us, but He does promise that He'll go through those trials with us and that His grace is sufficient to get us through and to meet our needs. You know, there's only two kinds of things that we can worry about. The first are the things that we can change, and the second are the things that we cannot change. Okay? Now, why in the world do we worry about things we can change? Okay? Supposing you're spending more money than you're earning, and so you're all stressed out about that. Well, that's something you can change. If you catch it early enough, it is something you can change. You just decide, I will no longer spend more money than I make. I will now spend less money than I make and start using my money more wisely. Okay? So if there's something you can change, you should not worry. You should change it. Okay? Why do I always get so angry all the time and blow up at people and this and that? Hey, if you're a believer, you have God's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. You can say no to getting angry. You can change and allow the Holy Spirit to give you His peace and His self-control. So if it's something that we can change, we shouldn't worry. We should change it. And then if it's something that you can't change, guess what? Worrying isn't going to help. It's only going to hurt. So if you can't change it, why worry about it? You know, with me, I'll be totally honest with you. I have more problems, much more problems, when I am dealt with things that I think I can handle. Because then I tell Jesus, you stay on the sidelines, I'm just going to worry, and I'm going to think and use my human wisdom, I'm going to get through this situation. Okay? But it's almost, when I get hit with things that are so far out of my control, there's nothing I can do about it, I just kind of throw up my hands and say, oh, well, Lord, I'm going to have to trust You because this is way over my head. Okay? But whatever the case, if you can change it, change it. Be all that God called you to be and don't worry about it. But if you can't change it, just say, hey, Lord, this one's way out of my league, and just trust the Lord and move on. Worrying isn't going to help. In fact, like we said, it's going to hurt. Now take a look at Philippians chapter 4, and we'll see Paul's advice on handling stress. Paul's advice on handling stress. Look at Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Paul says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You realize that's a command? God commands us to rejoice in Him always. He's not saying fake a smile all the time. Okay? You can have the joy of the Lord without smiling all the time. Some people smile all the time. That's cool. Except when you're in like Marine Corps boot camp. There was a guy who used to call him Smiley, and I don't know how he got through Marine Corps boot camp, because every inspection he could not take a smile off his face, and they thought that he had, you know, he was up to some devious plan or something, and they chew him out all the time. But some people smile all the time. You don't have to fake a smile. That's not what the joy of the Lord is. The joy of the Lord, though, you have an optimistic outlook on life, knowing that Jesus has saved you, knowing that you are heaven-bound, knowing that Jesus is with you and protecting you. And so you have an optimistic outlook on life no matter what happens, no matter what hurts you in life. So Paul commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. If you're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, you're actually living in disobedience. Paul commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Yet your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't suffer anxiety about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so now we have Paul's advice on handling stress, and again, he says the same thing, don't worry, be holy. You know, holy doesn't mean, you know, holier than now. Holy means separated unto God. Say, I'm going to separate myself from the way the world thinks, and I'm going to devote myself and my life to the Lord. That I have been set apart for God's service. I live for Him. I no longer live for myself. So Paul's advice, first he tells us, don't worry, rejoice in the Lord always. He gives us that command to experience the Lord's joy. And again, joy is the fruit of the second fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, and it goes on and on. But we have access to the joy of the Lord. See, when we don't experience the joy of the Lord, and we're all stressed out and all, it is not like we are people without food. If you are a born-again believer, if you're trusting in Jesus for salvation and you don't experience the joy of the Lord, it's like a person sitting down on the kitchen floor with your back against the refrigerator door and you're starving to death, yet your refrigerator is filled with food, but you just don't believe it. You see, Jesus has given you and He's given me. If we trust in Him for salvation, He has given us everything that we need to live the overcoming, joyful life. Okay? But most of us, what we do, we just do not believe there's food in the refrigerator. Believe me, Jesus has stacked your spiritual refrigerator with everything you need. Not everything you want. Not that second or third microwave. Maybe not even that first microwave. He knows what you need. Paul said that, you know, he's content if he just has a roof over his head and food in his belly. So that's how he defines what we need. The American definition of what we need is a lot different. That's unfortunate. I praise God that Americans we've used our prosperity to preach the gospel worldwide and to feed hungry people, but the fact of the matter is, now it seems like we're using that prosperity just to become materialistic and to turn our backs on God. But Paul says, don't worry, rejoice in the Lord. In verse 6, look at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul says, look, don't worry, go to God in prayer. Don't worry, go to God in prayer. When you feel like being stressed out, when you feel like, oh man, here comes the anxiety, this is going to drag me down, this is going to crush me, you know what that is? That's just God telling you, okay, I just want to talk to you. I want you to come into my presence. I want you to pray. I want to commune with you. So I have allowed a hardship to enter your life, a trial to enter your life, to get your attention, because I want you to come into my presence. And so Paul says, don't worry, go to God in prayer. When things get rough, go to God in prayer. And if we do that, look what will happen. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, when you're going through a tough situation, but you're still able to experience the joy of the Lord because you've gone to God in prayer, and you've poured out your heart to Him, you say, Lord, these are the difficulties that I'm suffering from. These are the circumstances that are crushing me, okay? And if instead of worrying, we decide to just turn those things over to the Lord in prayer, God promises us that His peace, the freedom from hostility, the freedom from worry, His peace, which surpasses all human understanding, your friends aren't going to be able to understand it, but that will overcome you and guard your heart and your mind. Your friends will look at you and say, man, I don't, this guy's friend died, or his house burned down, or he lost his job, or his loved ones are sick, and he still hasn't knocked them back. He's still experiencing God's joy. That goes beyond human understanding. That's just about everything that God can do, Satan tries to counterfeit. But that's one of those areas where the satanic, the demonic counterfeits just don't measure up. Just don't measure up. I mean, the guy who, you know, quit smoking, get some other bad habit or something, or quits eating too much sausage, ends up eating too much of something else. But it's only in true biblical Christianity where God can really do this, can really give us His true joy in the midst of our trials. See, God doesn't say, you know, only non-believers go through the tough times. Believers, it's a picnic. No. And I said this over and over again. I'm going to say it till the day I die. God did not call us to a picnic. He called us to a war. It's a spiritual war for the souls of human beings. And I'll tell you, anybody, any recruiter who tells you, we want you to join the Marine Corps or whatever, and even if a war breaks out, don't worry about it. It's going to be piece of cake. It's easy money, easy way to make a living, and you just hang out and don't worry about it. Well, the recruiter's lying. The recruiter's lying. Jesus didn't lie. We got preachers who are lying. It's easy street. Just come to Jesus and life is easy. And no more problems. Jesus told us, when he preached, he said, look, count the cost before you become my disciple. If you're not willing to pick up the cross and follow me, if you're thinking about trying to follow me and looking back, don't even follow me. Okay? Jesus didn't lie to us. Okay? He did not promise us a rose garden. He didn't say life was going to be easy. He called us to war. In fact, he told me, he said, if you find that the world persecutes you, know that it's persecuted me before. So if anything, Jesus promised us persecution, hostility. He promised us nothing but that we would be recruited into His military fighting this war for the souls of human beings. And so don't worry. Go to God in prayer, and God's peace, which transcends all human understanding, will guard us. Verse 8, he tells us, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there is any virtue, and if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Meditate means to focus on something with your mind. Okay? And so basically, Jesus is saying, don't worry. Instead of worrying, meditate on the pure, good, and true things of God's Word. If instead of, you know, basically what it comes down to is don't allow outward circumstances to control your life, whether they just be, you know, mere circumstances or people. Don't let people control your life. Don't let circumstances control your life. Meditate on God's Word. Read God's Word. Study God's Word. Memorize God's Word. Meditate on it. Have your mind dwell on the truths from God's Word, so that when things get tough, when the trials come, you have built your house on the rock foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings, and your house will stand. But if you build your house on sand, it's all going to come down. It's all going to come down. And so we're not to worry. We're to meditate on the pure things of God's Word. And then finally, verse 9, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul's basically saying, hey, what I taught you, I practiced myself. Paul's saying, I practice what I preach. And now, not only should you focus on the pure things of God's Word, but you need to apply them to your lives just as I apply them to my life. Okay? And then the God of peace will be with us. So we are not to worry because God is in control. We're not to worry because it doesn't help. In fact, it hurts. We're not to worry because God knows our pain. And He cares for us. And so we're to put God first, and God will take care of us. And take one day at a time. Rejoice in the Lord. Go to God in prayer about the tough things in life that we face. And then God will give us His peace, which surpasses all understanding. We're to meditate on the pure things of God's Word and apply God's truths to our lives. Look at the book of Hebrews. We'll just close now with a couple passages. Look first at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest, he's talking about Jesus as our high priest, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted or tested as we are, yet without sin. You realize the Jew cannot say this? The Muslim cannot say this? The New Ager cannot say this? The Hindu, the Buddhist cannot say this? Only the Christian can say this about our God. That our God can really feel our pain because He's been there. You feel alone. You feel abandoned by your friends. Jesus knows what it's like to be alone. He knows what it's like to be abandoned by His friends. You're suffering from physical pain. Believe me, Jesus knows what it's like to suffer physical pain. You're mocked. People mock you. Jesus knows what it's like to be mocked. You realize only the God of Christianity is a God that is so near to us that He actually felt our pain. Yet He's a God that is so far above us that He can actually conquer our pain and our suffering. And finally, Hebrews 13 and verse 6. Hebrews 13 and verse 6. In fact, Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Two things there. Well, number one, Jesus will never, ever leave you. So no matter how bad things get, we need not worry because Jesus is always there. He's always there for us. He's always there with us. He knows what we're going through. And He's there and He loves us and He'll never leave us. But number two, since the Lord is our helper, since the Lord Jesus is our helper, what can man do to me? You know, I remember working at King's West, I was about to be evaluated that day by the principal, and sometimes my evaluations aren't that good, and he thinks I should do things a little different, and maybe my classroom management isn't as good as it needs to be. So I was kind of stressed out about it, and I was talking to Mr. Boggs, the other Bible teacher, about that, and he's from Georgia, and he just looked at me and said, Phil, what can man do to me? And it just... I wondered, you know, this guy's in his early 20s. I looked at him and was like, Man, this is no time. You know, I felt like this is no time to bring up the Bible here. I'm trying to wallow in despair. I'm getting stressed out. My career's on the line. I got bills to pay. My job's on the line. And you're going to quote scripture to me. You know, 20 years from now, when you're my age, Mr. Boggs, then maybe you'll realize that, you know, just quoting God's scripture just doesn't work. Well, the reason why just quoting God's scripture doesn't work is because with 20 years of experience of trying to live a godly life as a Christian in the world, maybe I've let a little bit too much of the world's wisdom creep into my walk. Maybe I've allowed enough of the world's wisdom to creep in that I just don't believe God and don't trust God when things get tough. And so I knew what I wanted to say to Mr. Boggs. Deep down inside, I knew he was right. I had given the same advice to people hundreds of times before, and now God was going to turn it on me and have somebody give me that advice. And I looked at him, I said, "Yeah, George, you're right." And George is right. Because George Boggs, a young man, younger than my daughter, but he's a smart enough man to know that when you leave things in the scarred hands of the Lord Jesus, he never ever lets you down. And the world and Satan and his demons will try to convince you, you know, where is your Savior? Where's your Redeemer now? You're all alone, Fernandez. There's people mocking you, looking down on you. You become a laughing stock. Where's your Savior now? We need to look back at old Satan, look back at the world, and just point to our hearts and say, he's right here where he's been the whole time. He never left me, never forsook me. He's here and he loves me. And because he's here, you know, we do not, when the doors close and everything caves us in, we don't have to run through doors and run through walls on our own. All we have to do is cling to Jesus, and he'll run through the doors for us. All we got to do is cling to the Lamb of God. You know, Jesus died for us. He's not just going to leave us on our own. He's with us. He'll never leave us. And he'll get us through these tough times. And all he asks is that we trust in him. And so the Bible's advice on handling stress is, don't worry, be holy, be separated to the Lord, separated to his service. The way Peter puts it in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If you're hurting, I'm not trying to minimize that. All I'm telling you is God cares. Our God loves you. Our God cares. You trust in him, and he'll get you through. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then we'll receive the Lord's Supper. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we thank you, Lord, that we can not just turn to you for salvation in life, but we could also turn to you to get us through the tough trials of life. That we need not be stressed out or worried, but that instead we can place our hardships at the foot of the cross and acknowledge that you are the one who takes care of our needs. You are the one who gives us comfort. Any other comfort, any comfort that does not come either directly from you or indirectly from you through other believers to us, any other comfort, Lord, is not true comfort at all. It's a counterfeit. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would find our comfort in you, that we would cling to you. We know that there's times when we need to see doctors for physical ailments and chemical problems and things of that sort. But we know that in the end, Lord, the only way we can get through the stresses of life is to trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not just for salvation, but for the strength that we need to get through life day by day and moment by moment. We thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son. And we just pray that we would not allow our circumstances to control us, but that we would acknowledge that you, our God, are in control of our circumstances, are in control of everything. And so all we need to do is to trust in you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.